You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The Lord's table, perhaps if the death of Christ took place in this time, I'm not trying to be irreverent, they would have taken a picture or videoed it, and we would show that once a month or once a quarter or whatever, and that's a way to keep it in remembrance of us. Yeah. I showed you 9/11 because I don't ever want to forget that. Yeah. And as you saw that little ticker at the top, we'll never forget. Yeah. But our Lord did not choose cameras or artists or paintings. He chose his death. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And God shows us the fact that he died for our sin, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, according to the scriptures, and rose again, according to the scriptures. He died for us. He suffered. And then he was put in a tomb, but then he resurrected. And baptism shows the same. There's two ordinances in the New Testament, the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's table. This is a command. We must do this. This do in remembrance of me. The word remembrance means keep it fresh. And so God doesn't want us to forget. In your bulletin tonight, we will have with the ladies, if you open up the first page where it says, lest I forget, Deuteronomy 4:9. Ladies, I'd like you to remain seated, girls and ladies, and read that if you will, Deuteronomy 4:9, and we'll be in chapter 4 in a moment, and after we read these verses, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. Deuteronomy 4:9, ladies, will you read, please, ready, begin. Man, will you read the next verse, Deuteronomy 6:12? Ready, begin.
Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
Ladies, if you'll read the next verse, Deuteronomy 8:14, please. Man, will you read the next verse, Deuteronomy 8:19a. Ready, begin.
And it shall be, if thou do them all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you.
And let's lastly, let all of us read Psalm 9:17. Ready, begin.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
That's a promise to the United States and to every nation of the world. Take your Bibles, please, Deuteronomy 4. We read one of the scriptures in Deuteronomy 4 right there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The book of Deuteronomy, the word Deuteronomy just simply means the words. These are the words of Moses. He begins the book that way. And just final words, a final message. You get to the end, he's going to die, and his ministry is going to be all over. Moses instructs his people in this book of Deuteronomy. I want you to know what God did, and I want you to know what God can do, but I also want you to know what God will do if you forget, and we shall never forget. In Deuteronomy, we find in chapter 4, verse number 9, the Bible says, only take heed to, it begins with thyself. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent. I should do that. Lest thou, that's me, forget the things which thine eyes have seen. That's an important statement. And I want us to see that briefly tonight, which thine eyes have seen. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, But then he brings two more generations. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. There are these three generations here. Me, my son, and our son's sons. And these three generations, God says, I don't want them to forget. Only one was alive at this writing. The other two, the sons and the sons' sons, were to come. Because all the men, all those that had unbelief died in that 40-year trail. They never moved into the next land, the promised land. And God gives them sons, but they never saw the 10 plagues with Pharaoh. They never knew anything about it. You know, there's something about seeing it with your own eyes. I believe if you would ask me, Pastor, and I love vehicles, I like to just look at them or read about them. I love the 50s and 60s. I just love those cars. I could generally take you a tail light, and I could tell you, Colonel Hardy, you could do the same. I could tell you what year that tail light is. Brother Sly knows we had a parade here years ago, and a guy came with his 53 Chevy. But as he was in the parade that day, I said, no, it's a 54. And he said, it's a 53. I said, those taillights are 54. He goes, well, you're right. They are 54s. I just know the 50s and the 60s, predominantly the 50s. You know, Brother Fanera, when I was a boy, and I've told you this before, right over here in Fremont, what was Centerville at that time, before it was a city, we had just three car dealerships. We had the Central Chevrolet, my dad worked there. And we had Turner Ford, my uncle worked there. And then we had the Chrysler Plymouth dealership, Dodge, that was over there. And they'd soap the windows, always about the month of October. And they'd soap the windows of the showroom floor. Turner Ford could only put one car in the showroom. The Chevy could put two cars in two different showrooms. Plymouth, we didn't really go look at a lot of Plymouths, but they had a little bit more, but not many. They would soak those windows. It looked like they were all covered with snow on the inside and paint, and they painted it. And then they'd wash it off after, so they put the new cars in there. My dad said, son, the spotlights are out tonight. They'd always have those spotlights going. And he said, let's go look at the new cars. I can remember the very first car I saw with my dad was a 1956 Chevy two-door, that turquoise blue on the bottom and white. That car, even I believe it advertised it had a heater. And that was big, or an AM radio. I don't think they had the AM radio. I just studied that car. And every October, they'd come out new. I'd look at those cars. 1959, my dad was working downtown Stockton in a 12-story building. He had a hearing aid business. And he said to me one morning, I went to work with him in October for some reason. I was off the school. And he said, now, son, he said, I want you to just go ahead and take the day. I was a young boy. I was still in grade school, I believe. And he said, I want you to just take the day and go look at the cars. And I'll never forget going in Stockton to the Chevy dealership and Chase Chevrolet. And I walked in there and studied the Chevrolets, the 59s, and the Cadillacs was across the street. And they advertised the Cadillacs like tilted up on the back bumper. It looked like a spacecraft because we were going to space. I looked at those cars and I tell you, I have an interest in 50s and 60s. Now my dad, born in 23, my dad had an interest in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. I they're nice, I don't mind look, but I have no interest. Brother Flood, I tell you why I have no interest. I never saw them. But I saw those 50s and I saw those 60s. You know, if it's not careful, you won't remember very much in life because you haven't seen it. So you're going to have to work at it. I can recall this thing called 9/11 in 2001. If you're
if you're 2001 came, if you were 4 years of age, I doubt if you would remember it. Now, that's 27 years ago. Does anybody in this room, is anybody at that time, you were 4 years of age in 2001? Any four-year-olds, but now you're 27? There's a 27. Do you remember 9/11? You don't, because you were not part of it. She knew that something happened. But the only way our generation of kids will know about 9/11 is if we show them. Our eyes have to see it. And that's what he says in verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou to forget the things which your eyes have seen. I want to, and I know we won't understand anyone when I say ask you to participate. In a moment, I'm going to ask you where you were on 9/11 when you got the news. When that Tuesday morning, you turned it on because someone called and said, turn the news on. I know exactly where I was at. Do you? Where were you at in 2001 on 9/11? A few of you participated. Thank you. How many would have no idea where you were? You weren't even born, or you were so young you wouldn't remember. Would you raise your hand real high? You wouldn't know. Would you please stand to your feet? If you don't know anything about 9/11, Ms. Treber, don't stand, you know. That's a lot of people right there. That's many. Thank you, may be seated. Only way they're gonna know is if we keep it alive. You know, the only way this generation is going to know the old hymns of the faith, and no preaching, and no singing, and no weeping, and no shouting, and no saying amen, if we keep it alive. But we die on this thing, they won't ever catch it. And we've about lost it. I said not long ago in this pulpit, I believe we're 5 years away from not having anybody hardly at all to fill the pulpits. Right now, that man's file is full. And my file is so full of churches without pastors that I'm not, church planting, God bless you, we support them. But there's no reason to go plant a church. Take one over. The buildings are built. They're paid for in most cases. They have some people. Go get a church. They're empty. They're empty right now. We've got people watching this service with no pastor. Why? Because they're all assembled in their church, but they don't have a pastor. Our eyes, our kids have to see. They have to see Lord's tables like this. They have to see the anniversary Sunday like we're going to have this Sunday, and 1 year from now, the 50th year anniversary. That's why the museum's being built for this church right now, that we're going to be able to show a museum for 50 years of history in America, 50 years here. You've got to live through these experiences, and you live through people talking about it and teaching about it and living it and videoing and showing it. My parents, I have an overwhelming love because my parents put it in me for the stock market crash in 1929. They taught me about the stock market. I read everything I can on the Great Depression, lasted 12 years. I'm not a great historian like many of you, but I love reading anything about World War II. I just love it because I came right at the end of World War II. When cars were being rebuilt again, they started up the manufacturing plants. They're all shut down in most of the 40s because they didn't build cars. They built planes and they built a Rosie the Riveter. The whole story. But no cars. See, I had a 1945 Ford. No, you did not. They weren't built. I tell you what, I was a young boy in the early 50s. In 51 and 52 and 50, they're building all over America. And I've said it so many times, I can show you that's a post-World War II house right there. You go over here by the airport. Over by the airport, there's many post-World War houses all over this San Jose area, post-World War II, even here in Santa Clara. They've got a look about them. And then those cars were, they were just so, every year they looked different. The 54 looked different than the 53, and the 55 looked different than the 54, and the 56 looked different than the 55, and the 57 looked different. And then the dual headlights came out in 58, and all things started. Every year they were different. Now you get a body style that stays the same for 10 years. And that's how long they go, 10 years, and they'll change some lights on it or something, but the same body style for 10 years. The Bible says, lest you forget. My parents talked to me about World War II. I remember my dad, who was 90% deaf, was always so sad. He said, son, I couldn't go to the war. They wouldn't let me go. And he would talk to me about World War II because he was so saddened that he could not go, and he learned things about it. And relatives and friends were there. His brothers were there. And the Bible speaks that you cannot just keep these to yourself. You're going to have to tell your sons and your sons' sons. I don't ever want to forget 49 years ago. There was nothing here. We didn't know any psalm book. We didn't know a hymn book. We began to rent that building right there on Clyde Avenue. It was built in 62. There's a Nova, another one. And then we put that little square box on there, 16 by 20. That became many things. That became the nursery. It became the adult department. And eventually offices. And behind it, it was a 4,000 square foot building. We built that for the Christian school. And that Christian school went in that building. We began on October the 1st and built it, and then opened up the school in 77. This was 1976. Back in the left-hand corner, there's a modular. We raised the money for that 24 by 60. Over in the right-hand corner, that's a 1949. You crank it out, and it became a trailer, and it became the nursery. And then over here, it was a house to our right. We bought it, and houses were going for the 30,000s, and we bought it for $51,000 from the Yalers. And we had a big backyard, and I said to them, you know, this is highway robbery, buy a house for $51,000. And we bought it, and they moved it down toward Alum Rock. And then next, we want to take you over. There's the old auditorium right there. Wow. An old place. And there's old Joe Copeman out on the left. He died at age 59, home with the Lord. And then we see, as we go on, that's our 1949 International bus. And those are kids, if they're 8 years of age now, they're 49 years older than that. They're 57. Those kids are 57 and 58 and 59 years old. Getting ready. That boy in the door right there is about 15 at that time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And you had 49 years on to 15. He's probably retired. Lives in Virginia. And next we keep going. There's the old-fashioned tent. And we'd roll that thing up and the sides up and preach there. And the next shows us that tent where we're building the building to the left. That tent is where now the three-story building is, the fireside room and the school offices. And then we built that little awning out front and got it a little bit more sheltered so people could walk in. And then as we kept on going, here's our auditorium. When we expanded, it used to be right at the center was the first wall. Then we knocked down that 4,000 square foot building. It came this way. And then we just kept on going. Here's one Sunday. We brought everybody outside and closed the street with the city. Buses everywhere, cars everywhere, people everywhere, and kept on growing. Next, we see that there's that building. 1983, we dedicated that. In July, and there's Brother Andy Harold. The second house we bought for $268,000, and he tears it down. There is again tearing one just a few hours. He had that whole thing down. Here's look at, and then we bought this property. Now, when we bought the property, there was no sidewalk out front. There was no grass there. The building hadn't been painted, but in the back of that, you'll see the green. We brought in a five-wide trailer for dining, and then a three-wide. Preaching chapel, and then we put a basketball court in, and then we had a walking track. But you see those brown spots in the grass? We had mobile home trailers. They're getting rid of them. Pull the old ones out and bring new ones in. We'd buy them for $1,000, $2,000. We brought them all in here and we cleaned them up and turned them into dormitories. Now we're tearing them out of here and getting them out because we're getting ready to build. There's the ladies' dorm going up. And then we just keep on going and we built the dorm. And here's dedicated groundbreaking on July for this auditorium. Right here where you're seated right there. There it is. And then you can see just a couple more. I want you to see the steel began to go up. I don't want you to forget it. I don't want you to forget what God's done for us. And that's what this scripture says. Only take heed to thyself and to keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget. Look what he says in verse number 23. Take heed unto thyself. What's it say? Lest thou forget. He said, I don't want you to forget. The scripture makes it very clear. I don't want you to forget. Chapter number 6 and verse 11. Then beware lest thou forget. God says, I don't want you to forget. Chapter 8 and verse number 11. This old man's writing to his people and he knows he's going to die at the end of this book. Beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God and keep his commandments. Don't forget. Chapter number 9, verse 7, remember, forget not. Don't you remember that wedding day? Such a special event. But I've watched so many people through the years. They had that great wedding event. And as excited it was they were that day, I remember the day somebody walked out and left them too. I have never lost the wonder of it all. Don't lose the wonder. I have never lost the wonder of it all. Since the day that Jesus saved me, had a whole new life he gave me, I have never lost the wonder of it all. Let's have the deacon stand, please. Our Father, as we pass these elements, this bread representing the fact that your body was nailed and pierced and scourged, and the crown of thorns, all for our sins. Lord, as we prepare to pass these elements now with the pastors and with the deacons, I pray that God, you would do a mighty, mighty work in our hearts. Help us to spend time, please, and with the bread in considering how we failed you since the last time we participated. And then we confess those and get our hearts so right with you. And then when the cup is passed, may we not continue to look at ourselves, but may we look to Jesus and thank you for your grace and your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. The deacons will receive the elements from the pastors right now. If you'll do that real quickly, fellas. And you spend time, go ahead and take the bread and then take time, if you will, to pray. I always like to introspect and confess, God, here's where I failed you. Here's where I've done wrong. And I wish I could have had a perfect slate, but I haven't. I missed opportunities to soul win when I should have taken. I missed opportunities to pray more. And then I want you to confess whatever it is in your heart, and I'll do the same. When the cup is passed, we'll consider Calvary.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.